Hey, America.
Start rehearsing now.
Oh, God, it's all pink.
Hello, and welcome to a very pink and purple episode of 12 Points from America. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
And I'm Samantha. Thank you so much for joining us in this little another mini episode. We have just seen all the rehearsals for semifinal number two for the very, very first time. And we figured that we would give you our completely unaffected and completely natural first reactions to these videos.
We're going to sink some ships. Yeah, no, we're not going to do that. Before we get into it, I want to plug one thing, which is Nikki Tutorials doing an interview with Tusei.
Ooh.
If you haven't seen it, it's going to be the meme of the year for a number of different reasons. That's all I'm going to say. Just watch it.
Excellent.
He said that when he was told he was going to Rotterdam, he thought they said Notre Dame.
Oh.
It's like to help with the fire.
Yeah. So that got cleared up. But the rest, you should watch the whole thing. It's fantastic. Anyway.
Sweet.
17 songs in semi two. This one has definitely lived up to its bonkers seeming reputation, I would say. And San Marino starts it all off. How appropriate. What do we think?
I think much like Lithuania was for semifinal one, I still think it's a great opener. You know, that kick of energy, welcoming everybody onto the show. It's just as it's almost as bonkers as we were hoping from San Marino. The sort of starting Senit off by wearing this giant Baroque iconography with the Virgin Mary holding it. Like, I don't know what's going on. And yet I'm enthralled and yet still kind of scared and overwhelmed by it. So it's, I still feel like there's some refinement that needs to happen, but this is about what I expected from San Marino.
I think it's an interesting start. I think it's going to get a lot of people's attention. It's a little busy. I'm worried that there's a lot of like miniature Senits in the background on the stage that it almost gets a little distracting, but I think she'll kind of keep the attention on her, which is good. Haven't seen Flo Rida yet. I'm hoping he's going to show up at some point. His stand-in is okay though.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody did a little bit of research. It looks like the stand-in for Flo Rida is an Italian rapper by the name of Don Jiggy, who was a member of the group that won the X Factor Italy a couple of years ago. So he's a known quantity in Italian pop music circles and has a couple of singles to his name. But yeah, he's a rapper. He's not just some random guy that they pulled onto the stage. But I think that if Flo Rida is unavailable and not able to take it, San Marino will be in decent hands.
I read somewhere that the reason Flo Rida is not there is that he's judging a bikini contest or something. I know that's going to sound made up, but it's not.
I mean,
no,
can you?
That's perfectly in line.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, can you blame him? I mean, sit in a hotel, getting your nose swabbed every couple of days, or bikini contest.
Getting your nose swabbed every couple of days.
I suppose so.
I like the staging too. It's about what I expected. It's wild. It's fun. It's very Senit. It's very San Marino. I'm a big fan.
All right, shall we roll on to Estonia, second in the running order in the second year in a row for Ukusiviste with the lucky one. It's about what I expected. It's you know, he knows how to smolder. I feel like there's a little tuft of his hair that I think needs to be brushed back a little bit, but that's just me fixating on this one little distracting thing. You get the dramatic moments with the video of him splashing into the pool of infinite sadness at important moments of the song. But yeah, this is, yeah. There's not really a ton to say about the lucky one. Is there?
I mean, not really. I honestly think the staging at Estee Lal was better. There was a little more to it.
Like, yeah, with the chains on Uku. Yeah,
like he's just kind of there now. Like it seems like a bit of a punt.
It feels like very safe kind of staging idea. Just the storm in the background. I kind of expected it to transform into something near the end, and it doesn't really do that. He sounds really good, though. I'll say that for him.
Yeah, that's certainly not in doubt. And I don't think anybody was really too worried about Uku's vocal quality. He's consistent. So, yeah. Certainly didn't sink the chances, but I don't think it really raised it and elevated to the level of certain qualifier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in this, I think it probably still has a shot because he's all brooding and pretty and stuff. But it's...
Yeah, he is.
There's not a lot to this.
There's always room for a safe kind of standard Eurovision song in the final, so... I could see this going through just barely, but there's better stuff out there.
like the Czech Republic.
Hey.
Hey, Benny Cristo. Oh my God. I mean, to be fair, the run through that I watched, he was not operating at full capacity. It sort of seemed like he was more focused on making sure his blocking was right, that making sure he was more or less what he was supposed to do. He wasn't really pushing it vocally, but looking at the backing dancers, looking at the backdrop, it's fun and energetic and bright. I think Benny just needs to know when to turn on the showmanship. And in a rehearsal, you don't necessarily need to.
Yeah, this is definitely a rough draft early rehearsal for them. They're figuring a lot of things out. I'm sure they're going to get it all together, but kind of seeing it as now, it's like, okay, well, you're working on it. We're hoping for the best.
Yeah, this is a ways off, but I still believe he's still so charming. He got a haircut.
Yeah, he did. I'm kind of missing the dreads, but
yeah. But I mean, whatever, right? Yeah. He should do whatever he's feeling. If it's one less thing he needs to like maintain or worry about during this crazy couple of weeks, then that kind of makes sense. I still think the song's great. I still think people are sleeping on it, but it does seem like they're a ways off. I hope they get there in the next couple of days because the song's awesome. He's great. Go Agreed. Czech Republic.
All right, rolling on from the Czech Republic over to Greece. We got Last Dance from Stefania, who seems to be surrounded by dancing pants.
Yep, Dancy Pants, the musical.
Dancing Pants.
This is weird.
Yep.
There's some green screen stuff going on, like going up and ascending stairs and like that. But unlike something like You Are the Only One, it's very clear there's just a set of stairs you can't see that they're on. You know what I mean? Like there's, it's not really fooling anyone.
Yeah.
It's very colorful. Her voice sounds awesome. I think she sounds ready to go. But some of the other elements, the choreography feels just a little bit, like it's fine, but
yeah.
I mean, it was a first rehearsal, so maybe there are elements of this we just haven't seen yet, or that they're still working on. But as it is, I find it a bit wanting.
Agreed. It's strange. Like people are naturally comparing parts of this to, like you mentioned, You Are the Only One, which felt very expensive and rich. And this is a performance that I think is trying to look like they're throwing a lot of things at it, but it. I hate to say it, this is going to sound really, really not good. It looks cheap. And it's, I know that it's not, but it just, it's like, oh, we put some people in morph suits and, you know, green screen them out. It just, it's very cool. It's a thing that we haven't seen on the stage before here. But at the same time, it's just sort of like, that's a music video trick from the 80s, which I guess is kind of on brand for this song in a weird way. Derek, what do you think?
I think, conceptually, it's kind of a cool idea. We haven't seen it before at Eurovision anyway. And I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool looking. It doesn't quite work yet, but I think they're figuring it out. It's hard to say. I think she sounded great, though. I was really impressed with her vocal work. She's not really connecting with the camera just yet, but, you know, she's kind of figuring out where her marks are and where the cameras are. And that'll come along. But genuinely, I was impressed overall with it. I think it'll be fun and exciting. If they can coordinate with the dancers a little bit better, I think that would improve a lot.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any buyer's remorse on like, all right, we got this idea and it just ended up not being as big and cool as they thought.
The thing is, it is possible if you go in on something and you're like, oh crap, this isn't working, you can change things in some respect. I mean, I think back to Malta in 2019 where their corner projections didn't quite work out at first, and they were seeing, okay, can we jettison this or can we make it work? And in the end, they were able to make it work, but the fact that jettisoning it was an option, things are still on the table for flexibility.
I mean, they might be tossing around the idea of, what if we just have the dancers on screen in costume and that's it? Like, they're not invisible. That might be like a backup plan. I mean, we don't know. Mm. Or they could like have different costumes they could try on. I noticed there was a couple of times when the background was white and the clothing that you could see was also white, and it just kind of became this weird mess. And I was like, either you need to pick a different color somewhere here.
Yeah.
Now that you mentioned that, there was a moment in one of the rehearsals where I think maybe there were some issues with getting the camera work ready as well. Cause there was definitely a moment where you could see the stairs like sticking out ever so slightly, even though they're supposed to be invisible, you could kind of see the edge, which is definitely not what they're going for, but it's, I like it. I still really like the song, obviously. This is a cool direction. I just hope it gels a little bit more, I guess.
Hmm. They still have time.
Yeah.
All right, we roll on to Austria, Amen Number 2 by Vincent Bueno. And this is one that actually kind of surprised me. Like, I didn't think much of this in studio. Let's be real here. I think we all kind of panned it. But, you know, we thought he's good. And the thing that was missing for me in the studio was the fact of, you know, there was no showmanship. And I feel like seeing this live is where you're seeing him connecting with the song. And his performance, which was emotive and engaging, even in a downbeat, sad song like Amen, he really elevated the heck out of it. And people are talking this, you know, before this, they were thinking, no way. And now they're thinking, this could qualify.
I really appreciate the fact that this one relies less on the background graphics and more on just kind of the traditional lighting effects. There's a lot of really interesting, cool camera work where it kind of has these wide shots with the lights, and it's very, very dark. And they kind of use some smoke to enhance those beams of light. And it almost feels like you're in this like vast cathedral or something. It just kind of seems to expand the space around him so much more. And I think that really works with what he's singing.
Eric, what say you?
I'm reminded a bit of, well, a few acts from 2019 that really worked because of the performer and how much the song meant to them. Kobe from Israel. Obviously, that didn't work out especially well for him. But Tamara from mm-hmm. North Macedonia singing Proud. The reason that worked was the extent to which she sold it. And how much it meant to be delivering this message on the stage. And it won the jury vote. I don't know that this is that. You know, it's a really strong year. We'll see. But
the contrast between Amen and The Ride from Poland, the following God. Song, that it could not be more pronounced. I mean, it's the 80s neon sunglass fantasy that I think a lot of people were expecting when they saw the music video.
It's also the music video.
It is the music video. I mean, the music video is literally projected behind him.
Which is so disappointing to see.
I know. It just feels like they're cheaping out on it. Mm. I mean, but at the same time, it's a good value because you get technically double the amount of people on or near stage and you don't have to pay them.
Yeah, I guess. But it feels like, you know, somebody was like, okay, we need video footage for the performance. And then somebody was like, we already have video footage.
Yeah.
This is... Oh God. It's exactly what I expected. It's 80s, it's tacky. I wonder what's going to happen with all of these songs that have this same color scheme and similar vibe. Like at some point, are people just going to be exhausted of it? By the time they get to Denmark at the end of this, and we'll talk about that, are they just going to be like, oh, well, this is the same as half of the others? Or, I mean, how are these going to stand out amongst each other?
Yeah, I wonder how many delegation heads are looking at the screens for the other acts going, oh, crap, we thought we were being original and everybody else had the same idea. Oops.
It's like they gave them the same menu and said, you can have any one of these.
It kind of feels like that. Okay, let's roll on to Moldova. We got Natalia Gordienko with Sugar. And I'm just going to say it. I'm underwhelmed. You know, when you think Moldova at Eurovision, and specifically when you think Kirkorov and Moldova at Eurovision, you think crazy. You think over the top. You think candy canes with legs and ice cream cones that are dancing the Watusi and whatnot. And this is just Natalia and some backing dancers singing on a plinth.
It's the same kind of backing dancer, same costume, same moves as the video.
But no pearl beards.
No pearl beards. Oh, they might add those later. It's a difficult makeup effect.
I will preface this by noting I wasn't big on the song to begin with. And I think that seeing this performance with all of that wacky, fun, dolled up stuff really accentuates why I'm not that big on it, because I just don't think there's a whole lot there. And when there's nothing on stage to enhance it in a fun or interesting way. I mean, we talked in the last one about how Do-Re-Dos was just kind of a whatever until we saw the staging. This is like the reverse of that. Like, it started with the craziness, and then for Eurovision, they took it out, which is insane. Like,
right.
This is just a bland performance with dancers, and, like, it's coming 20 minutes after San Marino. So, good luck, Moldova.
And right before a handful of songs that are also high energy, one of which we'll talk about very, very soon, is considered now one of the favorites. So I feel about Moldova the way that I feel about Azerbaijan in the first semifinal, that you had this crazy song with a lot of potential for over-the-top craziness, and it's just not there. And it's a shame. Because, I mean, granted, we kind of rag on these two countries for brain crazy, but we miss it when it's not there.
Your reputation has let you down.
Sorry, Moldova.
Well, I mean, they hyped it up so much. You had that huge reveal party and this crazy video. It was kind of hard to live up to that. And even then, they just kind of seem like they're phoning it in.
Yeah, it's like, did somebody's pocketbook just kind of dry up a little bit? Did somebody spend too much on the opening event and not think about the fact that there was a staging to stage?
Yeah, I mean, even the background is just so, it feels like kind of this generic, there's these lines and geometric shapes and the same kind of pink and purple color scheme. And I'm like, where's the life? Where's the energy?
Yeah, it looks like the background of like the yearbook photos that I took in second and third grade with the little lasers in the background. Like, I mean, it's not just Moldova. It's a whole bunch of acts this year. But like I'm pretty sure that my second grade class photo had that background. Fashion is better for her than it was for me in second grade, though. Anyway, shall we roll on to Iceland? Dadi and Gagna Magnith, 10 years.
Why? Oh, yes.
Look who's back in contention.
Oh, my God.
In a big way. My goodness.
Absolutely. This is the fun, heartwarming Revenge of the Nerds climactic scene that we were all hoping for, but even better.
It's adorable.
It really
is. It's just pure joy. Like, oh, I'm going to have to sell a kidney or something. Like,
worth it. You know what? Best hot dog I've ever had was
a kidney?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, I mean, it's a hot dog, so you can never quite tell. But
it might be, yeah.
Yeah. Nope, Iceland, Bayerins besti pilsner, near the Harpa. Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Best hot dog I've ever had. And I will probably be able to eat them all the time because it's the only thing I'll be able to afford in Reykjavik.
Perfect.
Yeah. But I love this.
Yeah. I mean, it has the jumpsuits that we have come to expect. It has the little sprite video game characters from the game they released in the background, and they're floating around in space. And there are three curved pianos that make one big circle piano. It just kind of squee when I see it. Like, it's just so nice. It's so nice.
It is.
This might be what the world wants right now. You know what I mean? It really seems to have hit a good nerve in that sense.
I think we talked a lot about the pressure going into the contest for Iceland. And, you know, it was sort of inevitable that people would be disappointed when the song finally came out, with the expectation. And I think he's done such a good job of sort of just blowing that off and just saying, I'm just going to do what I want then. I'm just going to make my own music, do my own thing. I don't really care about the contest or how I'm going to place. And in a way that made it even more successful. It feels very genuine. And I was surprised at how much I liked it because I wasn't huge on the song going into it.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Genuine. It's the best way to put it. It's so Dadi. It's the same kind of vibe that we've seen from him since his national final entry in 2017, but it's just heightened and made more quote unquote Eurovision. And the fact that he's up there playing his music, singing about his wife while she's on stage carrying their second child and going up there and you know, his sister's one of the backing singers, and their friends are up there. It's they're having a party, and we're all invited. Like, what's not to love? I feel like I could cuddle a kitten right now. I'm just like in that warm and fuzzy place. What do we have?
I'm
following
not going to stop you.
She's sleeping on the couch right now. I don't want to bother her. She's got pointy teeth and claws. Anyway, moving on to pointy teeth and claws, we go over to Serbia. Hurricane Loco Loco. Fun party, round of shots for everybody, I think.
At least one.
Yep.
Rather surprised that this staging is very staid. It feels it's a lot of black and white stripes and blocks, and they throw a few words up on the screen. Their outfits are kind of black. There's no color, really, which is surprising given how vibrant their music video was. I think they're selling the hell out of it. I mean, they're an established act. They're very popular. I think people are going to recognize them, but I was a little shocked, especially in the wider shots. I feel like if you're not going to have an audience, we're going to have maybe rely more on tighter close-ups of them. Otherwise, they kind of get dwarfed by that stage.
Well, considering how all the other acts look color-wise, maybe black was fine.
Yeah, that it could actually work, you know, for their
advantage. Yeah, absolutely. You know, they were one of the acts that had that sort of 80s vibe in their music video. And I think they had said earlier that they were going to strip that back for their main staging. And it sounds like they kind of saw the writing on the wall for all these other acts taking that 80s aesthetic and pushing it forward to the main show. I think it was actually rather smart of them to pull back a bit. Vocally, this is about what I expected it to be. Sonya really seems to be doing a lot of the heavy lifting with this, which is fine because I think I could speak for at least me and Derek when I say Sonya is amazing and we love her very much. It's about what I expected it to be. I wasn't expecting this to be the absolute winner of the whole thing, but it's 3 minutes of fun, fearless, female fun.
The four Fs.
Fun, fearless,
fun,
female.
Fun, fearless, female, and fun.
Fun.
After comparing it to some of the other songs, I would say it feels like it having to step up from Moldova. It feels a lot tighter, a lot more focused. I think that'll help.
Yeah, less gimmicky than Greece.
Yeah.
And probably a lot more polished and put together than Latvia that we'll bring up in a couple of songs.
But until then.
Until then, we go from the craziness of Loco Loco to Georgia. Tornike Kipiani with you.
Well, if you thought the video was rousing and exciting, this is right up your alley.
I got nothing. He seems detached and not in like the detached way, or not in like not the way that you're supposed to be in the first couple of rehearsals where you're just kind of getting the feel for things. He just looks like he doesn't give a crap.
Is he one of the songwriters on this?
Songwriter on this.
Because his enthusiasm towards the song is like this was foisted upon him and he hates it, but he foisted it upon himself. So I don't know. When he gets into the screaming, singing towards the end where he really gets into it, I'm like, okay.
There you are. Yeah.
And then 5 seconds later, the song ends. So it's like, yeah, there's nothing on stage. This is a dud. It's just a dud. It's too bad.
There's something too, like he's, kind of my understanding is the song is about him singing to nature, sunshine, mountains, the ocean. There was a real opportunity to kind of put that in the background and show like, this is the beauty of Georgia and the beauty of nature in our country. It could have been like a travelogue sort of thing. And it just, I can't even remember what the stage was. There's some clouds, I guess, some color.
At one point, he had the lyrics of the song projected onto him at one point.
Which is cool, but I don't know what it's doing there. I it doesn't really provide any insight into his emotions or his feelings. Like, okay, yeah, you're saying the words and the words are appearing on you, but to what end? I don't know. Everyone involved in this seems just kind of out of it. And his whole physicality, as soon as the song ends, he's just kind of like, all right, well, that's the run through. Like, okay.
Yeah. And part of me is like, I mean, I look at somebody who's not super engaged and not connecting to with the song in the run through, like what we mentioned before with Benny Cristo, but we know that there's room for him to turn it up. With Georgia and this song, there's nowhere for Tornike to really take it. There's no, even the crescendo in the song is still very subtle. So there's nowhere to really go, is there? So I feel like he's created a low ceiling for himself that he can't really break through.
I'm wondering if at this point he didn't want to do this and they just kind of forced him into it.
It kind of feels like that, and I hate to say it.
It really feels like that. Poor guy.
Yeah.
Should be having the time of his life.
Yeah, somebody buy Tornike a drink if that's what his thing is. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And if not, that's cool too, but you know.
Let's move on.
Let's see. We've got Albania. Yeah. Angela Peristeri with Karma. This is cool.
Very.
This is a fun one.
Very classy.
Yeah. Albania is really good at the classy ballads, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, it reminds me a lot of Albania from 2 years ago. Just really well constructed, belted out, sounds cool. Nothing incredibly extravagant, but it's just really well done. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and her voice is great. She had a couple of bobbles during the version that I heard, but again, it's a first set of run-throughs. You're not graded on this. But the fact that you don't speak Albanian, I don't speak Albanian, but you can still kind of get the vibe of what she's trying to say with the song, the sort of creation and then the sort of things going up in smoke and you know, billowing away from her. It's there. And I like this a lot. I really do.
Yeah, this one's it's simple, but it's very classy. I think this will work. It effectively kind of draws you in. It builds as it goes along. The staging, I think, builds as well. It starts a little darker and gets lighter. I like that it's simple. I like that it's not using the neon lights. Yeah, overall, really good.
Agreed. Okay, let's move on to at least one of Eric's pre-contest favorites, the Black Mamba for Portugal with Love Is On My Side. Eric, why don't you start off with this one?
Sure. I'm just going to say it. This is qualifying.
This is qualifying. I agree.
Yep.
I think you very well could.
This is wonderfully staged. It starts out, you know, in the black and white 4x3 Snyder cut sort of style to have that sort of old feel. But then it expands. It fills it visually the full screen. There are some visuals of like the woman that he had that chance encounter with that's just sort of seen walking away. On a, there's like a side screen that's along the walkway to the B stage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I've seen anybody else use that. Definitely not the way that, not the way that they're using
not
it.
Like this,
yeah,
no.
Not, no, no, not like this where like mm-hmm. it's not just visuals, but it's part of the national narrative.
Mm. Right, right. Yeah. It is telling a story. It's doing it so well. People are going to love this. And I stand by the song being good enough as well. This is brilliant. Portugal, you done good. You done really good.
In addition to the visuals, I think I quite like the vocals on this one. I think he's playing with his voice a bit more. It makes the chorus a bit more dynamic compared to some of the other ones where it's like the chorus is kind of played out the same way. And he's kind of all over the place. And I think that's it shows a range of emotions. It feels very melancholic, which I think works really well for the song and for the theme. Yeah, it's a huge step up. It's similar to the national final, but it's improved in like every way, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in the national final, he really tried to like oversing a bit. I thought he tried to do a bit more at like the end of the second verse where he went under these high notes and went all over, and it didn't really work. This time he just sang it fairly straight, and that's so much better. The song doesn't need that, you know. He just.
Yeah, but you never know, like, in the actual moment when it's being, you know, counted by either juries or the public, it's very possible that the emotion could kind of take him away a little bit and he could start doing those runs again. It just depends on how he's feeling. But the fact that he can play it straight, you know, maybe somebody in his delegation will tap him on the shoulder and say, Tatanka, just do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wouldn't shock me if he just decided to go for it. But
he's like, nope, F it. I'm going to be me.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we go from the introspective, quiet, emotional Portugal to the introspective, quiet, emotional Bulgaria, Victoria. We see growing up is getting old for the first time. And I never, ever thought I would see Pride Rock make it to a Eurovision stage. But the Lion Queen herself. Yeah, I thought this was really very beautiful and imaginative and elegant and evocative. And something as simple as a tilted plinth, a photograph, and a stream of sand could be so evocative. Yeah, I just keep coming back to it. It's really quite beautiful and elegant. And listening to Victoria singing and her vocals were spot on as always. I found myself getting a little sniffly watching this. Like you could tell, there's a lot of heart in this.
I think this is a huge success on every level. Just visually, vocally, I mean, lyrically, obviously, it worked so well. It was so beautiful to look at and listen to. I you know, no doubt this is going to do well.
Absolutely.
This is top 10 easy, I think. It's so gorgeous. We talk about how you want your performance to tell a story. And we praised Portugal just a second ago for telling a story so beautifully. This one-ups it. Honestly,
yeah.
Like the photo on the floor you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
it's just, it's a little thing, but oh, wow. this is so gorgeous. This is exactly the way this should be staged.
Yeah. No, seriously, big props to my former delegation. And I'm not just saying it because it's my former delegation, but they really, really outdid themselves this time.
You can tell they put a lot of thought into this. Like, I think everything. You can just tell way Victoria's been handling this entire process. It's, they're on top of it. They're always thinking about the next step, and they're always way ahead of you. And I think it's all very, very cool.
Yeah, props to them. Okay, so we go from the, again, the quiet subtlety of Bulgaria to Finland. Dark Side, Blind Channel.
God.
It's if you saw the national final, it's a lot like that. A lot of pyro. Lots of pyro from what I'm hearing. Watch your eyebrows. Watch your eyebrows if you are in the arena. But yeah, it's what I expected it to be. Vocals are solid. They're a cohesive band. They're fine. They're absolutely devotees of the song, and I could totally see it doing well.
I think it's as good as it can possibly get. I think if you like the song, you're going to like it. If you were not a fan of the song to begin with, it's not going to convert you. But I think this is as good as they're going to make it, and it has a lot of energy. That scream at the end, that final note, that was really cool. But yeah, I could see this qualifying and see this doing okay. But, you know, rock has always struggled.
Perfectly cromulent. That's, you know, we're Simpsons fans on this show. So, I mean, yeah, it's cromulent.
Yeah.
I know, Eric, I know. Okay, so we move from Finland to Latvia, and we finally, after what seems like decades and eons of trying, Samantha Tina has made it to a Eurovision stage. So we have the first rehearsal of The Moon is Rising, and it's, honestly, I'm happy to see the return of the visored backing dancers. We were,
yeah,
those visors, they finally get some use.
That was a nice surprise. The composer herself is coming. I called it a nuclear mess in the previews. It is absolutely still a nuclear mess. I liked it though. I thought it was fun. It's ridiculous. It's silly. She's finally here. She's making no compromises. And I love that about this. Is it going to do well? No. But does it matter? Also no.
Exactly. I mean, honestly, Samantha Tina, she's just a lesson and a model for perseverance and doing things your own damn way. And I give her a lot of credit for that. Even if the song is not to my liking, the song is not to my case, as it should be said. And I can't say that to her face this year because she's all the way over there and I'm here. Performance it's a lot, but she's doing it her way. So yep, Samantha, more power to you.
I didn't think it was that overwhelming on kind of looking at it compared to what I was expecting. I think it was fairly simple. Like, she's center stage. She has a few kind of backing singer dancers off to the side. There's sort of this like explosion, like graphic behind her that's going the whole time, but it didn't feel crazy or disorienting the way like the whip pans and heavy cutting and things like that. It felt a little bit more focused than I was expecting. I love that she hasn't dulled her edge at all. There was so much attitude on display. You know, again, not exactly my type of music, but I respect the hell out of this. I think it's a success in its own right.
Yeah, that's about all you could say. So again, we have a bit of genre whiplash going from Latvia to Switzerland. First rehearsal for John's Tears to l'univers, the whole universe. And this was
weird,
elegant and weird and artsy. And I got vibes of a little bit of Chris Kostov, a little bit of Loic Notet, a little bit of Lorraine, a little bit of a giant piece of furniture that was slowly coming apart at the seams. And
yeah, he's singing about how the IKEA instructions didn't help, and now he just has this thing in his living room.
Yes, we all have the failed Gajon couch in our salon.
It's got dots.
Oh, man.
I mean, to his credit, he sounded absolutely incredible.
Yeah, incredible. He really did. Vocals were spot the heck on. And it's artsy. Like, you could tell that this is, you could tell what he's going for, that it's that artistic expression. You get a little bit more of the narrative of what John is trying to say through the choreography. I found it a little bit distracting at times, sort of tacked on, but there's room for refinement there, but I think all in all, it's a solid, albeit slightly strange package.
I definitely didn't have John dancing on my bingo card.
And now I will never take it off of my bingo card, frankly.
Artsy is the word I was going to use as well. It's a bit art school student chic, which that sounds like an insult, and I don't mean it to be.
That's kind of the vibe that we've had from him since day one, since last year. It's him.
Yeah. So, but this was really cool.
Last year was a bit more stripped down. It felt like it had this like French New Wave kind of look to it. I think this feels like a little bit much for what they're going for, and I'm hoping they strip it back a little bit. With the dancing, the costume, it's this weird jumpsuit thing, the weird piece of furniture, all of it. It feels like a bit much, and I don't know. I don't know what they're planning on doing to change it, but it'd be nice if they could dial it back a little bit. I think this could have used a little bit more simplicity.
Yeah, I mean, I'm both engaged by it and also sort of overwhelmed by it. I don't know whether I love it or if I'm just sort of, huh? And maybe it's both. I think I have to watch it a couple more times to kind of get it. And it's certainly memorable in that regard, which is good. You want to keep people engaged and asking questions, but it's sort of like, huh?
I mean, the most obvious staging would have been him just on stage in a suit flying through space. And I'm kind of glad they didn't do that.
Yeah.
It needs to be a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't have the problem where I'm wanting more. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know that I'm wanting less. I'm just a bit perplexed. It's still really good.
Yeah.
It's great, but it's curious. I'm glad to see John on a Eurovision stage finally.
Yeah.
After all this time of being like, holy cow, this guy's good. And wondering, okay, what is he actually going to do? And now we know. It's blocks.
All right. So we move on to Denmark, Fjordflamme with Overos Mahinan, then Practice on Each Other. And yeah, this is about what I expected as well. It's the crazy 80s. Jacket is too short. I can't tell if this is taking itself too seriously or not seriously enough or just the right amount. Or I'm confused by this. And yet I start to smile now, other than just the sort of that I had before when I first heard it. But this song still is old school chaos. It still seems misdirected and misguided.
I'll say I'm a little bit charmed by this now. I didn't like this at all. First time, couple times I heard it. And now it's like, oh, it's a little charming and they're smiling and they're having fun. And there's definitely a camp factor to it. But at the same time, again, it's a lot of what we saw at the national final. At this point, watching all of these rehearsals through, I'm kind of exhausted with the color scheme and the light show. It's not their fault, but coming last like this, I'm just sort of done with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think by the time we get to this, there are going to be a lot of people just being like, oh, this again. Even though this is the song that perhaps most warrants the color scheme that everyone else is using.
Yeah, exactly.
I think my favorite thing about this is that I keep forgetting that the title means practice on each other. And that's about the only thing I like about it. This still does absolutely nothing for me. It's just the same pink sort of stuff again. I meant to mention this in the last segment. In the bridge of Tout l'Univers, there's sort of a big, there's a bit of a dramatic color change, and it's pink. There's even pink in that. It's everywhere.
We can't escape it.
Oh, man. But yeah, this song's bad, and I'm not...
It's not as bad as we were crapping on it before, I don't think. It's not, like I say, it's not Citizen Kane, but it makes people happy, and I'm starting to smile when I listen to it. So
it's very much, from what I've heard, it's very much in line with the music of the mid-80s in Denmark. And if you're kind of in that region, I know Norway and Sweden are in the other semi, so that might actually hurt them. But if you're from kind of that central Scandinavian area, you recognize this from your childhood, and you probably love it. It's silly and campy and fun and colorful, and you're like, oh yeah, this, I like this when I was a kid, blah blah. I mean, for me, coming from the outside, I look at this and I'm like, I have no idea what's going on here, and I don't like it. And I'm thinking a lot of other people are going to say the same thing.
That's my reaction. Yeah, I don't know if by the end people are going to want to vote for this. I'm not sure that this gets in, but it has the boost of going last, so we'll see.
That is true. All right, so that is our running order for the second semifinal. We've seen it. We only have the six automatic qualifiers that we still haven't seen yet. France, Germany, Italy, Spain, UK, and the Netherlands, of course, which we'll see in, I believe, 2 days' time. So I say that we reconvene after we've seen those big six, maybe have a little mini episode, do sort of a similar thing to what we were doing today in our last episode. Does that seem reasonable to y'all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Well, in that case, you at home, let us know what you think. Hit us up on social media at either Facebook or Twitter at 12pointsUSA. Email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. Like, subscribe, give us a comment, give us stars, give us money if you could figure out how. We'll figure that out eventually. But until then, everybody, we will see you on our next episode. But I have been Samantha.
I have been Derek.
And I have been Eric.
And America,
stop rehearsing now.
Sometime soon. Wait. All right, let's go. San Marino, Estonia, Czech Republic.
I'm recording.
Oh no.